Dzień dobry państwu. Chciałabym wszystkich serdecznie powitać na prezentację.
Hello, welcome everybody to the presentation of our preliminary results of BZWBK Group 4 for 2015. Jerry Byrne is with me, Eamon Crowley, the CEO of BZWBK. My name is Agnieszka Dobrzycka and I'm in charge of investor relationship.
Good morning, or good afternoon, and you're very welcome. So we're pleased to outline our 2015 performance with you, and obviously you may have questions, particularly on the last quarter, and Eamon and myself will be happy to do that. Just before we get into the presentation proper, let me pick up some aspects from our press release this morning. Just to frame the performance in as straight language as we can. There were some moving parts in our results for 2015. Let me name the two significant ones were the one-off windfall on the sale of our controlling interest in the joint venture with Aviva, and that contributed some 460 million zlotys. And then there were some exceptionals on the downside, namely the exceptional charge by the Banking Guarantee Fund in respect of the bankrupt Co-op Bank, and our contribution to the Mortgage Stability Fund. So when you extract out the positive and you take away the negatives, in comparable terms to 2014, my first key message to you is that our results for 2015 are comparable to 2014. Okay? So in terms of recurrent sustainable earnings, our performance has been. At headline level, our profit growth for the year is up 20%, but that largely is as a result of the Aviva deal and the couple of adverse external hits like the Wyoming bankruptcy and the Mortgage Stability Fund. Okay. Maybe more importantly for us as we project that forward, we have grown our balance sheet substantially in the year. Eamon will cover those figures in detail for you. But in round figures, we have grown our lendings 10% plus, and we have grown our deposit base by about 7.5%. But in combined balance sheet terms, we have outperformed the market. That has been matched by a continuation of strong cost management. Our underlying costs, comparable costs, have grown by a pedestrian 1%. In the cost line, you'll see 6 or 8% growth, but there are exceptionals in that, one-offs that we will explain later. Okay. On the provision line, and in terms of credit quality, the picture there continues to improve significantly. We had great progress in the final quarter, but our provision charge-off in the consolidated terms is 12% less than 2014, and our trajectory on that tells us that that picture will further improve. We're writing better quality loan portfolios today right across the segments. We have a better risk experience in individual, in SME, in indigenous corporate, and in global corporate. So the picture there looks very well. So net on net, comparable to 2014 in after-tax terms, and that's in an environment where we're operating significantly lower interest rate environment. We're at unprecedented low figures, and we have some external one-offs that are kicking in. So we're well pleased with the results. You have to remember that for the 11 months, the sector public information The sector profit performance is down about 29.5%, so round figures 30%. That compares to our drop of 10%, but I'm telling you that our underlying performance is in fact stable and recurring. Okay. Now we'll go into the presentation. Let me make a few comments on the macro environment. None of this will surprise you. You know these figures better than I do. But let me give you our perspective on it. We continue to enjoy very healthy economic parameters, no matter from what dimension you look at. International trade, domestic consumption, indigenous investment, labour demand, no inflation, in fact a little bit of deflation, continuing low interest rates, and a pickup for our exporters in terms of a depreciated zloty. But they're all contributing to a pretty benign economic landscape. We subscribe to the commentary that we expect that to continue. We see no reasons for a material shift one way or the other. We believe that 3.5% might be on the lower side of growth in 2016. Maybe it'll be some digits higher than that. The important thing from our perspective is that's conducive to continuing to grow our business. So we are predicting that we will again outperform the market in terms of balance sheet growth, but we'll do that particularly in chosen segments that offer us better risk-reward. We will continue to maintain tight cost management, and we'll continue to improve our loan quality and our provision charge-off. So the economic landscape is positive, and we're positive about it. Further figures to confirm what I've just said, you know, broad-based, it's across domestic demand, it's across international trade. In terms of loan and deposit growth, again, you're familiar with these figures. The market has grown by about 7-odd% in lending, has grown 8-odd% in deposits. As I mentioned already, we have outperformed on the lending side, and we have matched the market on the deposit side. We're well funded, so we can be more focused on appropriate deposit base that represents economic logic to us. But Eamon will touch on portfolios later, and you'll see that in fact in the chosen segments we have substantially outperformed the market, and we're in double-digit market share in areas that we want to be. So that's important as we project forward. Let me talk a little bit about, there's a photograph of our franchise. You're very familiar with this. It hasn't dramatically changed. We clearly are the number three bank on a consolidated basis in the market. We have a wide distribution. With our subsidiary Santander Consumer, we are also at point of sale consumer lending extensively across a partnership franchise that they have developed. So we're well positioned by way of distribution. What this photograph doesn't bring to life is the transformation that's going on in the business. The migration of customers to electronic, to internet, to mobile. In other words, the banking sector, as we're seeing globally, but very much seeing here because of consumer preference, the migration to digital channel is quite exciting. We're to the fore in that. We have the best mobile platform. We're catching up substantially on our internet offering. And we have invested substantially in our communication centre, where it has become a point of sale, including advisory, video advisory facilities that our customers are now actively engaging in. We have streamlined the network somewhat. We probably have synergized, if that's the word, about 50 or 60 branches. That's where We've had neighbouring branches within the vicinity where we didn't lose any customers in any material way, in any insignificant way even. So we retained our customer base, we streamlined the distribution, and we're investing substantially in our hub branches, etc. So just some highlights, and Eamon will be picking up specifics on this. The point I want to make to you is, as our business continues to develop, we are more encouraged quarter on quarter on what we're seeing happening in terms of customer transaction and customer activity. We have more customers actively engaging with us today than we did 12 months ago. As you know, we have a customer base, individuals, business, corporate, maybe about 4.5 million. We're actively doing business with a substantial increased percentage of those. That is what's contributing to the net interest margin that we're enjoying and the volumes that we're putting on the balance sheet. Okay, so we're particularly focusing on segments that the risk reward is more opportune, and we will continue to grow those businesses. Likewise, in our subsidiary Santander Consumer Bank, it continues to increase its footprint. It is the clear leader in point of sale lending, and it has a very strong partnership franchise there. So notwithstanding, you know, a lower interest rate environment, and notwithstanding other external challenges that I'll talk about in a moment, in terms of customer activity, the franchise is stronger today than it ever was. And we are quite encouraged looking forward. Our investment in digital and our investment in customer relationship management systems, otherwise known as CRM, our technology platform, the way we're investing in the skill of our people on the front line in terms of engaging with customers, suggests to us that we'll outperform the market in terms of volumes next year, this year, 2016, and we will extract from that activity a better margin than is the sector norm. Okay, and that will be right across retail, SME, indigenous corporate, and global corporate. So let me try to use layman language, day-to-day language, on what the strategy is. It's as simple as 4.5 million customer franchise that we are extracting better value from today than we have before. The activity and the focus at top level is all about improving the customer proposition. In other words, simplifying products, shortening processes, digitalizing where we can, and the time to yes and the decision making, we put more and more of it to the front end. There are millions of actions behind that. It's easy saying a few sentences, but it's very few banks that can actually execute this. We are well on our way to execution of this. Success of banking going forward will be those that manage and mine data information very cleverly, very successfully, that they put out a multi-channel distribution around that proposition, and that they have a platform that's scalable and that you can run efficiently. Our digital drive will undoubtedly displace cost over the next couple of years, and we are investing heavily in that at the moment. The cultural change that's on that slide, that's all about the people agenda. We are investing heavily in leadership, in people engagement, in people skills, and our ratio of managers to staff is now at a level where we can really bring that cultural shift to life, maybe quicker than some of our competitors. Okay? So in the philosophy of the Santander Group, which we subscribe to, this is all about doing it more simply, doing it more transparently, and offering a fair and transparent proposition to our customers, value for money. Okay. I don't intend to step down through the next slides because they are so obvious. You're very familiar with these. In other words, the loan deposit mix, where the loans are in individual and SME, but we can come back to those, okay? I want you now to get a pen picture of the actual performance in more specific number terms, and I'll ask Eamon to go to page 29 and to pick it up from there, and then we can come back to questions and answers, okay?
Okay, thank you, Gerry. So page 23, apologies. This highlights our gross loan number at the end of the year. I suppose it's quite critical of that. You can see that for the first time in our history, BZ Vubik now has a gross loan book over 100 billion zlotys, which is quite impressive. That increased by 3% quarter on quarter, and an increase by 10% year on year. But if you look at the bottom right-hand box, you'll see that when you break that down into our chosen segments, you can see that mortgages grew by 11%. Within that, zloty mortgages grew by 12%, and Swiss franc mortgages reduced by 7% within that number. Cash loans, credit cards and overdraft increased by 11%. So again, more transactions with customers in that area. SME leasing and factoring grew by 18%. So within that, the SME loan book grew by 13%, and we had very, very good performance in our leasing portfolio and in the factoring area. And in corporate, GBM and property together grew by 9%, but when you break that out, property grew by 16%, corporate grew by 13%, and global corporate banking, which tends to deal with the larger companies in Poland who have a focus on energy, etc., grew its book by about 5%. And that particular book had gone through exponential growth in previous years. In Santander Consumer Bank, the overall growth, excluding mortgages, was 8%. But if you focus on the area that they are completely focused on, the consumer cash loan and credit card area, it grew by 12.5% during the year, up to 7.7 billion. If we move to the next slide, which is the customer funds slide, we grew by 7% in the year. You'll note that at the end of 2014, we had excess liquidity on our balance sheet. We had 95 billion at that moment in time. So we didn't have to grow at the same level of the market, which grew at 10%. But you can see here that quite a strong performance in quarter four, bringing total deposits up to nearly 102 billion zlotys, with growth in retail of 2%. But the key thing I want to mention here is that there has been a significant shift from retail term deposits into current account and savings accounts. The switch into current account alone was 5 billion zlotys during the year, which is about an 18% growth. And again, that highlights more transactions, more loyalty, and more connectivity with the customer. Business deposits grew by 16%, and that was skewed more to the end of the year, but there is excess liquidity in that area. And mutual funds under the ARCA offering grew by 2%. So the second half of 2015 has actually been quite difficult for the investment fund business, including ARCA. After a very healthy growth in the first half, the second half showed some reduction. We are addressing that, and indeed launching in the next month two new European funds, which we believe will help that proposition and our offering to our customer base. If I move on to interest income and net interest margin, which is on page 25, you'll see here that our net interest income the quarter increased by 4%, which is quite a good performance. You'll also note that our net interest margin grew by 5 basis points to 3.62%. So again, highlighting the movement with regard to the mix in our loan book together with the cost of funding. We should note that if we exclude the impact of SEB from the numbers, the BZ-Vubica net interest income was lower year on year by 231 million or 7%. So that has been something we are looking to recover. And I'll touch on this when I go through gross income or core income for the bank. With regard to SCB, net interest income year on year was 8% higher, and we continue to see the net interest income line grow based on their core consumer bank growth and their improving mix of loans. And you can see that performance highlighted on slide 25. I'll just note that the SCB net interest margin increased by 10 basis points in the quarter, and it increased by 50 basis points versus quarter four 2014, just to note that as well. So going forward, we expect the net interest margin to be stable in the coming quarters, and in that regard, volume and mix here will drive that net interest income line, but it's something that we believe will be stable. And obviously we operate in a situation that there may be a reduction in interest rates in the next quarter or two quarters. If I just turn your attention now to slide 26. Okay, so quarter four net fees were 494 million, which is 2% higher quarter on quarter and 5% higher versus quarter four 14. Within this, Santander Consumer Bank delivered 38 million, which was 24% lower quarter on quarter, but that was actually due to the payment of seasonal bonuses to sales partners. So it's the same situation that happened in quarter four of 2014 as well, but it does impact the overall number. When you strip out SCB, banks BZ Vubica fees grew by 5% in the quarter. So again, it ties into the comments that Jerry made around us having more transactions with more customers and that deeper relationship, which is coming through. If I just give you some detail on the breakdown fees, card income was 6% lower in the quarter, and that was due to some fee changes, and 19% or 58 million lower year on year, and that is the full extent of the lower interchange income. However, if we look at credit card fees, they performed very well. We sold 53,000 credit cards in quarter four. In total, we sold 220,000 credit cards in the year, and today we have a portfolio of 730,000 credit cards, and we are seeing lots of success there by way of increasing the level of activity and associated fee income from those cards. On credit fees, they grew by 5% quarter on quarter, and insurance fees, and these actually fit within the loan and insurance line, insurance fees grew by 6% in the quarter. I should note that there's a material 41% increase there noted in the slide, which is actually due to the consolidation of the insurance subsidiary last year. When you strip that out, the increase would be about 20% in loan and insurance year on year. In fact, what we're seeing here is on the insurance side is significant momentum in non-link sales. So this is where we're selling life and general insurance to customers who don't necessarily have a loan with us. And in that regard, insurance sales grew in non-linked products by 30 to 40% when you compare it with quarter four last year. And this is driving something that was picked up earlier. Our associated income has increased as well in the quarter because the JV entities are making more money from the fact we're selling more insurance, and we get a 49% share of that. If I look at customer and other, which is made up of current account fees and FX income, it increased by 3% in the quarter and 2% year on year. we're seeing here that quarter four was a very, very good quarter for the sale of current accounts. We sold 97,000 accounts in quarter four, which brought the total for the year to over 300,000 new customer accounts. And in FX income, we were 4% higher in the quarter, but 6% lower year on year. And this is due to the fact that we are generating higher volumes, but margins have been lower because of the competition with other platforms. But the recent quarterly performance is highlighting that we are defending our position in this regard and rebuilding our income base. On the capital market fees line, it increased by 2% in the quarter and 4% year on year. This was due to the growth in asset management and issuance income, but offset by lower brokerage fees. As I mentioned, assets under management increased by 2%, but the fee associated with that increased by 6%. And we are taking action with regard to new products, as I mentioned, in that regard going forward. So if we just turn your attention to slide 27, we should note here that this includes the pre-tax gain of $523 million from the sale of the Aviva shares. We realised $11 million on our sale of bonds in quarter four, which was down from $32 million in the previous quarter. In total, in 2015, we realised $272 million of gains, and that's versus $217 million in 2014. Net trading income and revaluation was $56 million for the quarter, which is in line with a normalised level, and it was increased by $19 million in the quarter. We also received a dividend from our 10% shareholding in one of the Aviva companies, and that was $14.5 million in quarter four. And other income was $28 million, which was flat or stable or regular versus previous quarters. Okay, if we just turn our attention to slide 28. Just to give some more detail to what Gerry had said, our costs in the quarter were $1.096 billion, which was 33% higher than the previous quarter. The cost line was impacted by a total of $251 million of one-off non-recurring items. On the Vohman bankruptcy, there's a total of $184 million, of which BZ Vubica was $171 million, and Santander Consumer Bank recorded $13 million. With regard to the contribution to the Mortgage Support Fund, the total impact was $41 million, and BZ Vubica recorded $25 million, Santander Consumer Bank $16 million, and we also have a legal provision of $26 million related to the imposition of a possible fine for 18 banks in connection with interchange fees charged in the previous decade, and we've created an additional provision of $26 million. So all of those total $251 million, and when you exclude these and the impact of Santander Consumer and the integration costs, which we finalised at the end of last year, our underlying costs increased by 1%. And then if you exclude the fact that our ongoing guarantee fund costs increased by $135 million versus the previous year, our underlying cost base is 4% lower. So this highlights the costs are within our control, within our management, and highlight the progress we're making by way of efficiency in that regard. Just to note that the headcount in BZ Vubica reduced by about 700 FTEs during the year, and SCB's headcount was more or less stable over that period. So if you just turn your attention now, excuse me, to page slide 29. The provision charge in the quarter was $811 million, which is 3% lower year on year. Sorry, that's for the whole year, apologies, not the quarter. When you exclude the impact of SCB, which added $78 million to the consolidated provision charge in the second half of last year, the BZWBK standalone provision charge was 9% lower. The charge for the quarter, $256 million, was higher for two reasons. One, SCB increased their provision charge to $71 million because of a change in impairment methodology that they were using. And obviously they have continuing growth in their book. And secondly, we had about $21 million of additional provisions versus quarter three relation to legacy cases that we exited. So in total, $256 million. The positive aspect here is that the annualised provision charge has been reduced to 85 basis points. Our coverage ratio has increased to just under 62%. The SCB coverage ratio is 92%, which is increased from 89. If you look at our NPL ratio, it reduced to 7.26, and SCB's ratio reduced to 9.6, so their NPL ratio. And we should expect further reductions as we move through 2016 on this line. In total, in 2015, Bisa Vubica sold $582 million of NPLs, which would have an after-tax PLN gain of $10 million, and Santander Consumer sold $425 million with an after-tax gain of $49 million in their books. So, as I mentioned, we'd expect that NPL level to reduce and also the cost of credit, annualised cost of credit, to reduce over a period of time. I won't dwell on the next slide because it just outlines our currency mortgage exposure, which we've seen in previous quarters. We are implementing some additional benefits to Swiss franc customers in the coming months, which again is a system with regard to how they manage their loans, but I won't go into the details at this moment. On slide 31, the profit before tax is $3.2 billion, which is 20% higher year on year. When you're excluding integration costs, Aviva, Vooman, and the SCB impact, the profit before tax, as Gerry mentioned, was stable or flat year on year. The quarter four effective tax rate was 25%, but that was driven by the contribution to the mortgage support fund, and the year-to-date effective tax rate was 20.3%.
So let's conclude before we open it up for debate, discussion. Let me repeat what both Eamon and myself have been saying. From an economic landscape, we see it continuing to be very satisfactory. Well-diversified, broad-based economic growth, and that's conducive to doing good banking business, and it's conducive to participating banks being able to contribute to that economic growth by driving forward on access to lending and security and safety around deposits. Our strategy is well defined. I'm not going to repeat it. It's simple. It's straightforward. It's about doing more business with more customers. It's about transforming our platform to the world we live in today. So it'll be more digitalized. It'll be more electronic. It'll be more automated. That is offering exponential growth on the income line, and it offers an opportunity in cost displacement. We are managing our credit and our underwriting better than we ever did. All legacy cases that Eamon referred to that came about in the 2008-2012 global cycle, they're working out. We're going to make substantial progress on the non-performing book in 2016, and our provision charge will significantly improve. And our cost management, our underlying cost management, as Eamon mentioned, when you factor out all the extraordinaries, in fact, we're running the business on a 4% less cost underlying recurring. So internally, the business is in good health. More particularly, we're well capitalized. There are following pages there we can talk about. We are comfortably in excess of regulatory requirements at both total capital level and at core capital level. That allows us some flexibility on 2014 earnings, you'll recall we didn't pay a dividend. That will be a matter for the general meeting this April, when we'll also make decisions around 2015. We will consider 2015 in the context of other external factors that are in the ether that I'll talk about in a minute. So, what really creates complexity around this and about, you know, underlying performance versus top line performance are the external issues that you're well aware of. The imminent banking tax, the dialogue on Swiss franc mortgage conversion or no conversion, the situation around some subsectors in the banking sector, i.e. SCOCs and cooperative banks. Eamon mentioned the exceptional charge that all banks had in the fourth quarter. So, you know, those external challenges have to be managed, but they are of a magnitude that, you know, our voice and our encouragement to all stakeholders and all authorities is that let us tread carefully. The banking tax is de facto, it's going to happen, but plenty of international commentary and local commentary around what further challenges the banking sector could sustain without creating a destabilized situation. So we will be active in our voice and our participation on those debates. But not alone is this an issue for the banking sector, but it's an issue for Paul and Dink. You know, inevitably, if the banking sector becomes constrained for whatever reason in supporting lending growth and others, that undoubtedly feeds into the economy at large. You know, when we think back only a few short years ago, maybe even 2014, a lot of 2015, you know, the banking sector and the Polish economy was the envy of a lot of international commentators and a lot of other international markets. I think it's our collective job to make sure that that position remains, that we continue with a stable banking sector that can support the ongoing development, ongoing growth of the economy. So we view this with some concern for the sector. You know, it's public information, and I think we touched on the figures. For the 11 months, profit in the sector was down 29.5%. When we see the full year, I don't expect that percentage to have improved. So our 10% comparable reduction is versus the sector down 30%. We're fortunate that we have a strong franchise, well-capitalized, well-funded, with a national reach, with a big customer base. But that is not the situation for the entire sector. So there's some vulnerability in that landscape that we all have to reflect and be mature on as this moves forward. So my final comment. Within what we are managing, the franchise is in better health today than any time previously. Our intelligence, our knowledge across our customer base is now at a level that's quite sophisticated. We have invested in CRM platforms. We'll see more of that in the first quarter of 2016 as it unfolds in the market. We have invested heavily, we continue to invest heavily in the digitalized platform. The shape of banking in this market, like every other market, is going to substantially change in this year and in the next couple of years. It will undoubtedly be a business that will be done in a very different way than we know it today. We're ready for that. We have very clear plans on that. We have the money to invest in that, and we have the skill set that can adapt to that. Okay. So, final comment at this stage. 2015 results very satisfactory relative to what we manage and what's in our control. We have performed to our expectations, and I believe we probably have outperformed maybe to some consensus expectations. There are external factors that now need to be managed by us and managed by the sector and managed by wider stakeholders, and it's our collective obligation, responsibility to make sure that we're in solid position to fund the ongoing expansion of the economy. We'll take questions if there are any.
Prosimy o zadawanie pytań.
Please ask your questions.
It's Balengenji. Technical questions. One is regarding card fees. You mentioned that the decline in card fees quarter on quarter was connected with some price changes. If you could give some light what type of changes it was. Secondly, you said that you sold like 97 current accounts in Q4. My usual question is, what was the net increase in number of accounts during the quarter, and what's the number for the end of 2015? And last question regards corporate deposits. You had very strong growth quarter on quarter in corporate deposits. This is the product in which most of banks are not interested in, at least I have this feeling from discussions with them, and they treat this as non-strategic product. The question is, why are you so interested in this type of funding, which is usually not very stable? Thank you.
So, on the fee question, there was some regulatory requirements to reduce fees on cards, which impacted us in quarter four. I can't answer for other banks, but these related to some withdrawal fees and some other fees, which I can come back to with detail on. It impacted us quarter on quarter for about 10 million in the quarter. That's the first thing. The second thing relates to the sale of accounts. So with regard to current accounts at the end of the year, we have something just under 3 million current accounts. I don't have the net figure for you for the quarter. I can tell you it was a very, very strong quarter at 97,000 sales in current accounts. We did have some additional benefit with regard to the sale of current accounts for under 20-year-old customers, students, in effect, where we have a drive there. And secondly, we have a very nice online mobile account, which is proving very attractive to our customer base as well, which drove some of that number. By way of the net number, Piotr, don't have it, but I know that our attrition levels year on year are reducing quite significantly. So the churn is reducing quite significantly. So I'll come back to you separately on that. With regard to your question on business deposits, you know, we have quite a significant corporate and GCB business franchise. We have to remember that for the purposes of business accounts in the financials, they include SME, so small, medium, large corporates, and then much larger corporates. So in that area, we have grown our SME balances quite well. We've grown our corporate deposit balances quite well. And by way of our exposure to larger, chunkier type corporate deposits, we've actually reduced them over time. So this is about the part of the relationship with the customer, and isn't, let's call it, money that leaves us. Our position is very, very stable in that regard.
Some question, if I may. Kamil Stolarski, Haitong Bank. Maybe first on your capital position. So first of all, have you got the letter from the Polish FSA, and how confident are you that you can share with the investors the 2014 and 2015 income? So maybe in here, I think that the standalone core Tier 1 ratio improved materially quarter on quarter, like by 93 basis points. And I wonder if you could walk us through how this happened.
Okay. So on the, with regard to your first question, we have not received the letter from the KNF with regard to the treatment of the 2015 dividend, so we're waiting for that. With regard to the 2014 position, we believe we should be able to pay that dividend, the 50% of that dividend, based on the communication we've received to date from the regulator. But as Gerry mentioned, we have to await till the management board make a recommendation to this, to the annual general meeting to approve that. So it's still open for some discussion because of the next letter we're due to receive, but we believe we'll be able to pay it. And then lastly, the increase in the quarter relates to the fact that we received approval from the regulator that we could commit our half-year profits to our calculation in the quarter, and that's why it increased.
I think our slide 30.
Maybe next question on provision charge. I think that you said that provision charges in 2016 can go down significantly, and till now I understood that the guide, broad guidance for the cost of risk here is like 80 to 100 bps. I think it's not valid for 2016. So what would be the guidance? What do you think?
No, when we plug into our model the economic backdrop, and we look at the run rate on our different portfolios and our bad debt experience, we are more confident that 2016 will show continuing improvement. The makeup of our non-performing portfolio, as we've said already, there are some significant legacy cases in it that, again, we're more confident that we're going to see the end of those within 12 months. That will have a material favourable impact on our totality of NPLs. Very significant. You know, across the top 20 cases, if things develop as we envisage, we could see our total NPLs drop significantly. And our provision charge, we could get a double-digit improvement in basis points terms. Our risk underwriting, our risk architecture is far more sophisticated today than it was a couple of years ago. We believe we're best in the market, and our prediction levels are very accurate, very robust. So with an economy expected to perform the way it is, we're very comfortable on that line.
So maybe to go on with this topic, have you done any risk provisions towards coal mining, your largest exposure in this sector, and maybe what was the impact of the model recalibration that you did in the fourth quarter in nominal terms?
No, in what we have in the coal mining in that sector today is at acceptable levels. It doesn't make up a big figure in our portfolio, and in fact, stress testing that in our vis-a-vis our annual charge-off, it will be a very insignificant figure. So it is not on our top agenda in terms of potential risk factors.
In the fourth quarter, the calibration of model, what was the impact? Because I think that the cost of risk in fourth quarter was higher.
In the fourth quarter, across the book,
of the last quarter.
Do you mean across the entire book?
Yeah.
It was, as Eamon explained, there were one or two significant specific charge-offs to close out a couple of legacy cases, but the run rate, if you extract those two particular cases, the run rate on the fourth quarter is significantly better than previous quarters.
Okay. Maybe my when it comes to volumes, you commented for the whole market, but what would be, what do you think would be the impact of banking tax on your volume, on your loan growth?
Well, those figures are in the public domain. You know, many commentators have done the figures for the sector, and you know, we know the legislators are looking to raise $4.5 billion. And across the sector, that probably means 30% of 2015 profits. In our own case, it won't mean that much, but it'll be a significant figure. Like, again, in the public domain, we're talking about 400 million zloty relative to our assets, or relative to the included assets. Like, you know, talking about the banking sector and the previous health of it, you know, here was a sector that made 16 billion round figures in 2014. We already know, it's in the public domain, that's 30% off in 2015. Some of that may be one-off, some of it may be not one-off. So now you're on a base of 12 billion, and authorities are looking to raise $4.5 billion. So that's in excess of 30%. So that undoubtedly feeds through to a lot of banks being constrained in being able to develop their business and to be able to be active in the loan market. So that is a further comment on my part to my earlier comments that when you put all of these external factors together, we have to be very careful that we don't create... which wasn't the intention, but we don't destabilize something that was very good.
Yeah. I would have another question, somewhere related to banking tax. According to deep analysis of government officials, it will have no impact on prices on the market. So my question is, for any other reason, have you started increasing spreads on loans recently, and what's the, let's say, reception by the clients?
We're not approaching it in that manner. Like we've touched on earlier, our plans for 16 and the couple of years ahead, 17, 18, if we do a three-year run, we are focusing and we're putting our energy into segments where we can get optimum return for risk and reward. Okay, so margin improvement that in 2015 that Eamon spoke about is a result of that. Managing our funding better and managing our return on portfolios. That will continue to be our strategy. So, you know, this market, as we all know in the room, is very competitive. There is an oversupply up to now of funding relative to lending opportunity. So market forces will dictate certain things, and any stability around our margins will be dictated primarily around our choice of segments rather than anything else. Okay. You know, whether it's interest income or whether it's fee income, You price that relative to macroeconomic conditions and the level of activity, and you price it in a very open, transparent way with your customers around risk and reward. Yeah. So we don't have one size fits all. We run our lending portfolios through underwriting models. That gives us a risk reward parameter, and we price accordingly. Yeah. But we have to ensure in the holistic nature of running the business, we have to ensure we derive sufficient return on capital, sufficient return on equity that allows two things. One, that we can fund the growth of our business, and that we can contribute to shareholders in terms of returns that they'll invest in our business. Yeah.
Isa, proszę.
Just a follow-up on those corporate deposits in increase in 4Q15. Could you please give us a rough feeling whether those deposits came to the bank at the end of the quarter, throughout the quarter? Just have a feeling whether the interest expenses on those deposits is already reflected in the numbers.
they're skewed more to the very end of the quarter.
Okay, but you mentioned that it's stable deposit
yes.
base, so you should assume that it will be kept going for those deposits will be kept.
Well, we've excess liquidity at this moment. Is you know, in BZ Vubica, the loan deposit ratio is 86%. In an environment, in the current environment that we're facing, having excess liquidity has to be managed in a way. So these tend to be shorter term. And they're not price sensitive in a way. So the price we're paying on those deposits is not excessive. It's very tightly managed, and we're not taking on extra liquidity just for the sake of it. But I should emphasise that, okay, the quarter showed an increase in those in business deposits, but the progress made in the whole retail area through the year is a big driver for the net interest margin and where we're going by way of our interest cost.
Okay. Also, a follow-up question on those sale of NPLs in Infor-Q. You mentioned earlier that it includes corporate legacy cases.
Yes.
I'm wondering whether those legacy cases are somehow connected with the coal mining sector.
The answer is no. But obviously we will, you know, on the 12th of February we will be issuing our full financial information, which will have all the detailed information that you'll be able to analyse. But the answer to your question is no.
And the final question from my side, you have informed that the banking tax for 2016 for BZWBK is roughly 400 million zloty. I'm wondering how it's calculated, because there are some discrepancies in the interpretation of the law, whether it's based on total assets minus deduction or whether it's based on gross amounts including of balance sheet position.
So it's obviously there's some further work to be done on interpretation by the Banking Association and the relevant tax authorities, but it is based on balance sheet growth, so it includes the fact that we intend to grow our balance sheet, as Jerry mentioned, in segments that we want to grow in, and on the basis of excluding own funds together with the 4 million billion exemption as well. So there is a growth element in there as well, which we've undertaken. And then the question is whether it will be that amount or something else, depending on either interpretation or how fast we grow.
Okay, but it's the question was it's this amount is calculated based on this, let's say, positive interpretation of the law, meaning on the total assets, not for the balance sheet and of balance sheet numbers.
It is based on the presentation of our accounts under IFRS, which has a net valuation for derivative transactions.
Okay,
so
exactly.
On that basis, it excludes derivatives.
Okay, thank you very much.
That is only for standalone. The estimated number for Santander Consumer Bank is in the range of 40 million. So it's just for the 405 million is just BZ Vubica.
Jeśli nie ma więcej pytań, ja sobie pozwolę przeczytać dwa pytania, które przyszły do nas z internetu. What is the main reason for higher risk provisioning at SCB level in 4Q? If any, what is the one-off component here? And the second question, what kind of cash and mortgage loan sales do you target in 2016 versus 2015?
Okay, so as can be seen on slide 29, the charge for SCB, the provision charge for SCB was 71 million, and the previous quarter was 39 million. A kind of a normalised level of SCB provisioning would be in that 40 to 50 million level per quarter. And in that regard, the change in the impairment methodology will be in the range of 20 million in the quarter. We also, as I mentioned, should take into account that their book is growing quite well. They're very well provisioned by way of their coverage, which is over 90%, and their NPL ratios are reducing. So in that regard, they're operating in a very safe environment by way of provisioning. And the impairment methodology change would also enhance that, given the mix of business that they're bringing on their books. By way of the potential sale of NPLs, we don't have a budget in that regard. the way it operates is we prepare NPLs for sale, and when there's a demand for those NPLs, we offer them to the market, and that is the same for SCB. So there's no specific plan. Our total NPL sales for the group in 2015 was 1 billion, which was quite significant for us. So I wouldn't expect it to reach that level this year. But by way of specific numbers, I don't have them.
Okay, cash and mortgage loans, sales.
Okay, so there's a question about the what kind of cash and mortgage loan sales we target in 2016. I think it's fair to say that 2015 has been quite a positive year for us. With mortgage sales, we increased the portfolio by 12%, but we increased the sales volume by 48%. And it equates to us selling about 1 billion of our mortgages on a quarterly basis. We believe the economic environment, together with the demographic profile of Poland, together with the fact that jobs are being created, and depending on government policy, there may be more funds in people's pockets as well, that both cash loan and mortgage sales should be sustainable over the next quarters at similar levels. We believe that these products are not as sensitive to the banking tax rate as other possibly lower margin and higher value corporate products. So we think we'll sustain the same levels.
Maybe just a last question from my side on the fee income. You mentioned the seasonality in the Santander Consumer Bank in the fourth quarter, but we do see a very strong net fees on the BZWB case standalone basis. And I'm just wondering whether those payments to the business partners that Santander Consumer Bank is paying is also paid to BZWBK?
The answer is no.
No.
No. We don't act as a sales agent for SCB, so it's not. But in fact, the payment that they make is actually quite a positive, because it's highlighting that their sales partners are performing quite well. And they make that make the additional income, obviously, through their net interest margin, through that sales process. So it's something that should be.
Anything like that would be eliminated in consolidation
as well. Yes.
No dobrze, jeśli nie ma więcej pytań.
If there are no more questions, then I would like to thank everybody for joining us here. Thank you, gentlemen, for the presentations, and let's have the offline part of the